Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find Luke chapter 21 this morning.
Amen.
Luke 21. I think I'm starting a series. I guess we'll find out. We can call this part one. And if there's going to be a part two, we'll call it part two. All right? But we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about fears and the last days. Just like this went off inside of me to talk about fears and the last days. How many know we're in the last days? And the interesting thing, I've talked about this before, but the interesting thing is when you study the Greek, where Paul said in the last days certain perilous times would come. Amplified Bible says difficult, hard to live in, hard to bear times would come. When you study that, the phrase the last days literally means the last of the last days. Because we've been in the last days for over 2,000 years. But now we're in the last of the last days.
Amen.
This is it. Praise God. I'm excited about Jesus coming back.
Amen.
So let's go to Luke chapter 21. The Bible talks about, this is Jesus. He said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. That word distress means anguish of nations with perplexity. Perplexity means to be at a loss. The sea and the waves roaring. Well, how many know we're here now, right? I mean, the nations are perplexed. They're in anguish. They're at a loss. Even our own country is in a place where, man, it looks like it's about to explode and rip apart. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying that's where we're at. And you can say that we're not there, but we are there. We just are. Now, will it get better? Well, look, here's what I know. I know there's certain things that are going to happen the last time. We can't pray them away. We can't faith them away. And we can't change them. Because Jesus said it.
Yes.
What we can do is put ourselves in a position not to be a partaker of it. That's what I want to do. Amen. So there's certain things that are going to happen. You know, just like Jesus said, the signs of the times that are going to come. There's nothing we can do to stop those. We can just be prepared, be ready, and be protected.
Amen.
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 Now, you know, I know that everything that Jesus said isn't pretty, but it is pretty plain what he said.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have to decide, are we going to be protected from that? Are we going to walk in a place where we're not walking in that?
Right.
Amen. You know, just for instance, you know, just like all the things that the coronavirus. I think it's got too much time in church. Personally, it gets talked about too much, but I'm going to mention it this morning because it's of the devil. That's the origins of that thing. And listen, you and I are redeemed from that. Amen. We're redeemed from that. So let's just stand against that. Amen. Let's don't be in fear, but just stand. Amen. In faith. Because they keep, you know, about the time, whether it's actually true or not, you know, they say, follow the science. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's all fine and dandy, but when the science is false, I don't want to follow it.
Amen.
And there's some science that's not really science. It's just, amen. All right, let's move on. Amen. You know, now in verse 26, he said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. There's going to be a shaking going on. And he said that men's, and that would be women's too, men's hearts would fail them for fear. For fear, because they're looking, or the New King James says, the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. So literally in the last days, fear is going to be a killer.
Right. Amen.
And I believe this is this may have a twofold meaning. Where it says hearts failing them, I believe it literally means physically quit. Amen. Fear is a force, man. I'm telling you, it's a real thing. And if you don't know that, just think about, if you ever had a time you're something really startled you, you're driving down the road, maybe somebody about to hit you, and then it's like the strength goes out of you.
Yeah.
You ever had that? You know, a pastor that I know of, he's talking about one time him and his dad were flying, and he's a big guy. He's 6 foot six. So he's big. And he said him and his dad were flying. His dad's a pilot. I think he might be. I'm not sure. But his dad, he said, we were flying, and all of a sudden our carburetor started to ice up. And, you know, planes have, you know, something that you can do, you know, a button you can push or a lever you can push in to de-ice them. But it wasn't working. So it became quite obvious that they were going to have to land. And said, he said, here I am. I'm a big, strong man. He said, but man, he said, his dad told me, he said, now you work the radio. You call the tower. He said, I'm going to just keep this thing flying. You work the radio. He didn't want to have to fool with that. So he said, I got on the radio and gave him our numbers and called the tower. And he said, I'm trying to be like a man. You know, this is giving the number 6753. He said, all of a sudden my voice cracked. He said, we finally got on the ground. He said, I thought everything was fine. He said, when I stepped out of that plane, he said, my legs buckled underneath me. Because that fear had done something, see. That fear had taken strength out of him. Well, here's the thing. If you're in fear, that force is working inside of you all the time. That's just a high voltage dose of it. See, he just got a shot of it. Amen? You know, but that's working all the time if you're in fear. You know, sometimes you get a shot of something, too much of it. Like, I don't know why I did this. One day, I decided to drink a cup of coffee and two Mountain Dews.
Oh my.
I have no idea. Well, I don't know what I was doing that day. I don't know what I was even thinking. I don't hardly ever drink a Mountain Dew. But anyway, I drank two after a cup of coffee. I want to tell you something. I got a shot of something. Man, I felt like a chipmunk on speed, man. I'm telling you. I was like, get out of my way. But literally now, I believe people's hearts are going to fail them because of fear. But one of the things that this, when it says here that men's hearts will fail them, one of the meanings of it means to breathe out. You ever had so much going on that you just went, it's like you give up. There are going to be, in these last days, multiple fears, all kinds of fears. We got to learn as believers to deal with it the way the Bible teaches us to deal with it.
All right. Amen.
Just because we're Christians doesn't make us immune automatically. We have to stand for it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm seeing this now. I'm seeing diseases that are coming back on the scene that we had beat. They're now talking about measles is becoming a problem again. I thought we beat that years ago. And now, and, you know, different things are coming back, you know, the new stuff, plus some of the old stuff's coming back. I mean, you know, I forget, what was that shot they gave us? They took a chunk out of your arm when you was a kid. Was it smallpox? I still got a big old circle there where they branded me. And I think they got that beat, and as you got older, you didn't have to get that. But that they gave those years and years ago. When I'm talking about years ago, I mean like in the 1800s, because I was watching this Western one time, and I saw this Indian on there, and he had one of them. And I told folks, look, man, they had smallpox vaccines back then.
Yeah.
So, but how many know we beat it, so nobody gets vaccinated for that any longer. But yet, I'm seeing some of that stuff come back. Diseases are coming back. Shortages. I mean, I'm going into stores now, and I'm like, this is like being in a third world country sometimes. Some of these, you know, Phyllis looks at me and goes, well, I mean, I can't, you know. When I can't get my brand of crackers, this is third world stuff going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Inflation, pestilence. natural disasters, persecutions, riots. How about this? People going crazy.
Yeah.
Did you know that is one of the main signs the Apostle Paul talked about when he said in the last days perilous times would come? He didn't list earthquakes or any of that. He said men shall be. The way they're going to be is going to cause perilous times. Well, man, we are there. So, we don't want to be the people that, you know, that we're out there living in fear. Because let's read on. He said, and then, verse 27, after these things, after all these things are in their course, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, listen to what he told us. When you began to see, when these things began to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Yeah. Hallelujah. What's he saying? God said, I've got you covered.
Right.
Now, go to Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to look at some scripture this morning just quickly here maybe. Isaiah chapter 54. So, God's got us covered. Even in the midst of all this, we're covered. Our redemption, we're not supposed to look at that stuff. You see, their hearts fail them looking after those things. That's what they're looking at. You and I are supposed to look at our redemption. Right? When the, you know, listen, when coronavirus came, listen, I understand it was real. I understand it was, and I understand that there you need to do some things. You need to have some common sense. You know what I'm saying? I said back then, you know, I wouldn't go into a room filled with people that had the virus. You know what I'm saying? Unless the Lord sent me in there. You know what I'm saying? Unprotected. You know what I mean? You know, but if God told you to do it, you're good. Right? But, you know, I wouldn't tempt the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I mean? If there was some kind of disease, germs on a, you know, on the table, and I wouldn't just, you know, grab them and put them in my mouth and say, well, I'm redeemed. No, that, you know, I mean, the devil tried to get Jesus to jump off the top of the pinnacle of the temple. Well, he had divine protection, but not if you're going to just tempt the Lord. So I wouldn't go tempt the Lord, but yeah, there's an area of wisdom, but there's also, if you don't watch it, it gets into an area of fear. Where people are, it's not wisdom, it's just fear.
Amen.
I determined that virus is not going to stop my life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, whether you believe in the mask or you don't believe in the mask, doesn't matter to me. You're prettier without it. At least some people are. That's a joke. Now, you know, whether you believe it or not, you know, the mask of the beast, you know what I'm saying? My personal opinion is it's a joke, but that's just me. But if I go into your store and you want me to wear it, I don't cause a scene.
Right.
I just wear it.
Right.
I don't try to, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can make some mountains out of molehills. Do I think it does anything? No, I don't think it does anything. But I'm not going to get thrown in jail over a stupid mask. There's a lady who went in the bank and got thrown in jail over a stupid mask because she wouldn't put her mask on. Yeah, well, you know, and they ask her politely, you know, and then she caused the problem. She caused the problem. She could have just been nice, put it on, or just left. Well, some of you are quiet on that, but, you know, sometimes Christians, we get a little weird. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I go to your place and they say, hey, you can't come in here with that. If you own the restaurant and they say you got to have a green shirt on to come in, I'm not going to tear the world down to wear a pink shirt in your restaurant. I just won't come or borrow Susie's. Borrow Greg's.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Susie's come near fit me. Greg's would be too big for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I might make that thing look pretty good. I don't know. You know. Greg's I'd have to take up in too many places to get fit. Now, but my point is this. You know, all this stuff is going to come on the earth. Are you listening now? It's going to come. Now, we have to decide how we're going to approach it. Are we going to join in with the world and the nightly news now? And live in fear? No, I made up my mind. Coronavirus isn't stopping me. I didn't stop me. Amen. There were times, you know, we did have to shut the church down because of the government thing for 7 weeks or something like that. But it wasn't done out of fear. We had a meeting about it, and I said, just out of respect, you know, we'll be a part of this just for a while. All right? We're not going to just be rebellious here. And so, you know, and there were times that Scott's the only one that came to church. He's such a good guy. Amen. He's so faithful. Just me and Scott. Anyway, my point, that was when we just happened to do a live stream Wednesday night. It was just he and I, and we come here and have church, man. But the point that I'm making is this. We got to make up our minds, because if we think this coronavirus thing, like this is all going to go away and everything's going to return to normal, honey, we're in the end times. It's not going to return to normal. Now, it's going to be normal for us as believers, but it's not going to be normal in the world. There's going to be all kinds of disasters. There's going to be all kinds of shortages. There's going to be all kinds of diseases and pestilences, all kinds of things. You say, well, you're scaring the fire out of me. Well, get saved. I said, get saved. Get saved, and you won't have to be afraid of all this, because our redemption is nigh. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah, go there to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Isaiah 54, 17. Ooh, I like this scripture. Listen to this. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Do I have any servants of the Lord in here?
Amen.
And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Do I have any righteous people in here?
Amen.
Well, then you have a heritage, praise God. Your heritage is that no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. Hallelujah. That's us. Now, I am convinced. Now, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory person. I'm not. I don't even believe most of them. Some of them the Christians push. I don't believe them. Why? Because I've heard them before. I've been around long enough, 40 years. Now, I mean, I'm older than 40 years, but just serving in the kingdom 40 years in next month. I've been around. I've heard all this stuff before. But I do believe there are certain groups in our nation that are trying to destroy it. They're trying to destroy our economy. Really? There's no reason there's ships sitting out there waiting to unload stuff. This is I'm not a conspiracy guy, but this is just common sense. There's no reason for that. If we had the right people in office, they'd have them unloaded. But we got people who want to destroy our economy, want to destroy it and make it over. But I got news for you. I'm part of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And my economy is not going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I read my Bible.
Amen.
About a prophet. He didn't have anything. He went to the brook and God caused a raven to bring him, a meat-eating bird to bring him filet mignon.
Amen.
You ever wondered what that tastes like? If God sent it, it's got to be good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Phyllis had been there. He had to fly in A1, too. Steak's not done until you got A1. My mind is a steak ain't good if you got to put that stuff on there. But anyway, it's your own, right? You know what I'm saying? So, have me like A1.
Yes.
Okay.
Take it or leave it. Amen. I'm not even going to ask, because how many wouldn't even eat a steak? I ain't eating any red meat. Now that's good. That leaves more for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You mean, Pastor, you eat red meat? Yeah, I eat red meat every chance I get. Now, I like the color changed somewhat.
Yeah,
You don't want yours dark. You want yours burnt. You want yours black. We don't even let her get steak when we go out. If she tries to order steak, no way. Ain't happening. We had a precious young guy with us one time, and he's from another country. I'll just leave it at that, but he's from another country. And where he comes from, they eat their stuff pretty raw. It's just kind of a thing. And so we're all at a steakhouse, nice steakhouse, and he's there with Phyllis and I and some of our family, and he orders this, well, he ordered it raw. Rare. Well, that's raw. Rare. It's like knock the horns off and bring it. And he ordered it rare. And of course, you know, he's from a different culture. He doesn't know when to take us serious, when we're joking. He didn't know. And I'm like, No, you're not. You're not bringing that to this table. And I mean, he took it serious. Oh, okay. How should I order it? Order it any way you want it. You got to eat it, man. I just don't like something on my plate that's eating my corn while I'm trying to eat. I want it dead. But not so dead it can't be resurrected. Amen. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the word. How about it? Amen. No weapon. Everybody say no weapon.
No weapon.
See, he didn't say there wouldn't be any formed. He said they won't prosper. You know, the devil's going to form weapons, but they won't prosper against you. Why? Because we have on the armor of God. We're the heritage of the... We have a heritage. That is, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. So listen, I'm just saying to you guys, don't get in fear over all the things that are coming on this planet. Don't do that. Just trust God. He's got you protected. Amen. I don't always say you got to have faith about you. Man, I'll tell you what. You know, Pastor Gary was here, a couple weeks ago? Now, it's a little better than it used to be, but the airport he has to land in to go home, I've landed at it several times. It is. I watched this thing on one of the channels, cable channels. Might be National Geographic, I believe it might have been. And they were listing the 10 most dangerous airports in the world. And the one there in Tegucigalpa is number 2. Number 1 is a strip on the mountains of the Himalayas, trying to land your plane on this strip in the mountains. And the second one is Tegucigalpa. And I guarantee you, you know, if I can get you praying in tongues. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit, come with me to Honduras, and I guarantee you when you land, we'll have you filled with the Holy Ghost. You will be praying in tongues. We've seen people, and Phyllis can verify this, we've seen when they finally got the plane landed, people just start clapping. I remember one time, I think we might have been with Continental, I don't know. Continental doesn't fly over there now, I don't think. But at that time, I'd been Continental. Could have been United or American. One of those. I keep naming about to hit one, Southwest. No, I know it was either Continental or American, I think, that we were flying on. And I mean, man, when you land, there's just not much runway. They have to lock it up, throw back thrust on. You're in the seat like this. And, and it was rough. And I remember the pilot come on and said, another smooth landing by United. But they only send certain pilots in there. They have trained ones. They only take 3 flights in there from the U.S. And those are specially trained to land in there because it's in a bowl. It's like mountains all around. You kind of got to work your way, cork your way, and then come down like that and then lock them up when you hit the runway. Well, let me tell you something. I've been going over there since 1990s, and I'm not afraid. And I'll tell you why I'm not afraid. Because I read in Psalms, He'd give His angels charge over me. Hallelujah. To keep me in all my ways. Hallelujah. So I don't have to be afraid. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Say, what if it's your time to go? Well, it isn't my time to go by dying in an airplane crash. And besides, I'm only 60-some years old, and so it isn't my time to go. I'm not done yet. Amen. Now go to Psalm 34. When I'm done and it's my time to go, I'll just go. Well, how will you go, Pastor? You going to go with disease? No, I'm not going to go with disease. You going to go, you know, like lose your mind? No, I'm not going to lose my mind.
You're going to go on the, no, I'm not going in a wheelchair. I'm not criticizing anybody's had to go that way. I'm going to go strong. Yeah. I'm going to go healthy.
Right.
I'm going to go with my mind and my faculties intact.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You know, be like Brother Hagin sitting there eating breakfast and fall over. Be like E.W. Kenyon sitting in a chair, said, "Here comes Jesus." Think about that. He was sat in a chair. He was married to a lady that was 20 years younger than him. And so, he told them one day at breakfast, he said, "I'm going to go home today." And they thought, "Well, Dad's slipping here." His daughter was there. His wife was there. And they thought, "Dad's slipping today. You are home." Well, that wasn't what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what he was talking about. But they said at 10 o'clock in the morning after breakfast, he sat in his chair and said, "Here comes Jesus," and bam, he fell over. He went home. That sounded like a good way to go.
Amen.
That's the way my grandma went. She went talking. Yeah, one of them did. The one that was a faith lady and full of the word.
Amen.
Yeah, we went to get her stuff after she passed on. Huh? Huh?
Standing up.
She was standing up talking. We went to go deal with it after she passed on, and she was in a nursing home, but she wasn't sick. She had something go wrong with her and had to go to the hospital, and she lived in an apartment by herself. And so the doctor said, well, why don't you just go to the nursing home for 2 weeks, and then you can go back home. Just get some special care. Well, she got in there, and they did her hair. They fed her. There were people to talk to. She says, "I don't want to leave." She stayed. And so she could go to church and go to the store and go places, but that's where she lived at because there were other people there. And you can understand. I mean, she's in her 90s. She's 90-some years old. She wants some company. And this was good company. So she just stayed. But the director told Phyllis and I said, he said, she had been witnessing to somebody about Jesus that morning, trying to get them saved. And then he said it was like she was talking, and she went to take another breath, and it was gone. And she said she just fell over. She stand up, just fell over. Well, the scripture came to me out of the psalm, says he takes their breath away.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 That's the way God wants his saints to go. He just comes in. That word breath means spirit.
Yeah.
He comes and just removes their spirit. Well, their body falls over.
Yeah.
The body without the spirit's dead.
Right.
So God just comes and gets us.
Hallelujah.
See, that's the way God takes people. He doesn't take them in car wrecks, diseases. He takes them by just getting their spirit and taking them home. Say, "You ready to go home? Let's go." Hallelujah. That's where I'm going to go.
Amen.
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 Did you find Psalm?
Yes.
Look at Psalm 34, verse 4. David said, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all of my fears." Notice he said, "I sought the Lord." I sought the Lord. Everybody say, "Sought the Lord." See, it's people that seek the Lord are going to be delivered from fear in these last days.
Right.
People that are seeking the Lord. Now, you know, what does it mean to seek the Lord? I mean, we're pursuing after Him, man. We got to have Him. We got to have His Spirit. We got to have His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have His anointing. Got to have His house. Got to have it. Now, I had a prophetic dream last night. I don't have these often, but I had a prophetic dream last night. And in this dream, and I won't give you the details of the dream. I don't have time to talk about that. But what the Lord showed me, He said, "Many of my people are drunk. They're not drunk on alcohol. They're not drunk on the Holy Spirit." He showed me many of my people are drunk with life, and they're drunk on pleasures. And they're missing in action. Those people got to turn that around. Because if you don't, you're going to end up, even though you might be saved and going to heaven, you're going to end up with the same lot in reward as the world's going to get in these last days. Amen. Because we have to seek the Lord if we're going to be delivered from our fears. I mean, He's the only one that can deliver us from them. Amen?
Amen?
You know, we're talking about in these last days, things are going to get worse and worse. But those that seek the Lord are just going to fly and sail above all of that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. David said, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. I don't ever thought about this, but David had a, Pastor Jerry taught me this word, plethora. How many know what plethora means? A lot. He had a plethora of people trying to kill him. Saul wanted him dead. After he became king, all of the Philistines wanted him dead. Actually, before he became king, all of the Philistines wanted him dead. Saul wanted him dead. Saul's men wanted him dead. Big chunk of the nation wanted him dead. I mean, you talk about a guy who could have had fear. But he said, I sought God, and He delivered me from all of my fears. Hallelujah. In these last days, folks, I'm telling you, we've got to watch what we're seeking. Amen? I said, we've got to watch what we're seeking. Let's go. I think we got time for one more scripture. Did you get anything today? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll probably close right here. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. So listen, this is just, you know, this thing that the Lord showed me last night. At first I thought, well, that was kind of, it was a dream, and it was in parable form. And I dismissed it and thought, boy, I didn't even have pepperoni pizza last night. But the more I thought about it, the Lord began to reveal to me and show me the meaning of it. He said, there's a lot of His people, they're drunk on things, but not the things of God. You know, you can get drunk on life, on my life, and you don't have time for the Lord any longer. I wouldn't want to be there in these last days. I want to be on fire.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not a doom and gloomer. You know that, right? But you think we haven't seen anything yet as to what's coming on this earth. But thank God, we're redeemed. I know people get down when you say these kind of things, but listen, it is the Bible. Well, I just want to hear about my authority. Well, you kind of are if you're listening. You kind of are. But you got to have authority over something.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And we have promises. Amen. We have promises. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Look at this. Proverbs 4:20. The Bible says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Now notice this, health to all their flesh. Now I have in my Bible, fix whatever ails you. Yep. Amen. Hallelujah. See, when you're talking about health to all your flesh, we can think about just physical health, you know, deliverance from sickness. But I believe he's talking about everything in life that could go wrong in the flesh area. The Word will fix it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what I want you to see is, look, God has given us His Word, amen, as a fix.
Right.
As a fix. Fix everything. Listen now. And where it says in Proverbs 20, look at this, Proverbs 22. Come on, are you there? Where it says health to all your flesh, the Hebrew says medicine. Medicine. How many know you got to take your medicine for it to do any good?
Right.
Anybody ever been on medicine? How many know you're supposed to take it to get better, right? It's supposed to do you good. Well, if it's the right stuff, it will, right? It'll help. Well, all right, you have to take it. So how many know we have to take God's Word if it's going to fix everything that ails us? If we're going to live fear-free, we got to be full of the Word.
Right.
Now, how do you take it? Well, I mean, you take it by reading it, right? How many know you take it by meditating on it? One of the ways I like to take my Word is by listening to it. Now, what do you mean by that? Listening to the Bible? Well, you can listen to the Bible read, you know. But I'm talking about people preach to me.
Why? Because maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is. I get more faith out of hearing somebody preach to me than I do any other time. Because when you think about it, faith cometh by
hearing.
It doesn't say by reading. Now, I do believe, unlike some people, I do believe faith comes by reading the Bible. But yet, I think there's a dosage that comes to you by hearing that you don't get any other way. Amen. And so I've noticed that over the last almost 40 years now, that man, if I'll just take time to listen to somebody preach to me, now, and it has to be the right kind of preaching. It can't just be any kind of preaching. There's a lot of preaching today that does not inspire faith in you. It may build your ego up. Right? It may build your self-esteem. I want something that builds my faith. Because that'll bring everything else up. Hallelujah. So, you know, I hear some preaching today. There's nothing like really wrong with it per se, in the sense that it, you know, it's unscriptural necessarily, or it's bad. Doctrine will hurt you. It just won't grow you. It just won't do it. Every now and then, you got to have some meat. I don't know about you, I like it more than every now and then. Amen. This is mean, but I don't know. It's coming to me. You're not supposed to say everything you think. But I just can't help it. I just can't help myself today. My wife says, yeah, you could. Okay, I just don't want to help myself today. But there's times I've gone in health food stores and I've seen, now not everybody in health food stores, so this isn't, but I've seen people in there, they look so pasty and pale. I want to go back and get them a Big Mac and bring it to them. Eat this. I used to watch a guy, and he was a wonderful man on TV. He was a doctor, and he was really big into health stuff, you know, and all. And you need some of it. Don't misunderstand me. This isn't a swipe against that whole thing. But his wife would always sit over on the couch and. Every show, I think, she ain't going to make it through this show. She looks so pasty and pale and so weak and frail, and she's about to fall over. Toss that woman a Big Mac, man. Pump her up. But how many know spiritually, you need some good food?
Yes.
Amen. I remember we was going on a trip one time. I'm always taking my time here, but it's my time. But I remember we were going on a trip one time, Phyllis and I. We were driving several hours, and I had Sirius Radio at that time. I don't have it any longer, but I had it then. And I was listening to this one Christian station, and this guy preaching, he's a good man, but he just preaches just nice, flowery stuff. You're wonderful. Everybody's good. We're all hallelujah. Everything's fine. Everything's roses. And I had him on for 2 hours. And then finally, Phyllis spoke up and said, can you put something else on? I put Dr. Barclay on there. And he was telling us, you guys are pussing up. You need to repent. I said, that changed, didn't it? Well, which of them's right? Well, both of them are. You just got to have a mixture of the right kind of meal, right? Right? You got to have all kinds. Yeah, what the guy was saying is God does love us. Absolutely, He loves us. Yeah, we're wonderful, but not too wonderful. That we don't need help. Right? And all that's true, but you can't live off of that, right? You got to know some other things. Amen?
Right.
Now listen, I learned this early. Just give me just a few more minutes here. I learned this early in my Christian life that the more Word I got in me, the freer I was going to live. I learned that quickly. The more I could get into me, the freer I was going to be. Now, what the writer of Proverbs is talking about, and we're applying it for this, is getting God's Word in your heart. Because it will fix everything going on around you. All this mess that's coming on the earth, the Word will give you faith instead of fear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Paul didn't say it's the word of fear which we preach, it's the word of faith which we preach. A lot of people are preaching fear.
But it's faith we're supposed to preach. See, what think about this. Well, I don't have time for this. You remember the psalm said, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, what's the secret place? Well, it's abiding in God's Word. Amen. It's abiding in God's presence, right? So it's abiding in God. Well, remember when Peter, when he was out there in the boat, him and the disciples, and that storm came up, and Jesus walked on the water to go to them. How many remember that story? And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out of the boat. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out. Now, I've said this before, but when you think about it, it took a lot of faith just to step out of that boat. See, but here's the thing. It took some faith to get out of there, didn't it? So he got out. But when he got out there, what happened to his faith? Well, he was doing good for a while, but then he looked at the water instead of looking to the Word. Now, see, Jesus, how many know Jesus was already walking on top of the circumstances? What's the circumstances here? Well, the circumstances is there's the water. It's not solid. But Jesus is walking on top of them. And he told Peter, hey, come out here with me. Remember what Jesus said? I've overcome the world. See, in these last days, we better walk with Jesus. Amen. We better walk with His Word. We better stay full of His Word. See, the Bible says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, that law operates by faith in the Word. And it'll keep you free from that sin and death that's going on out there. Listen, I'll close with this. There's three decisions you need to make, okay? Three decisions. Number one, three decisions. You need to decide who and what you're going to believe. You need to make that up. Who and what am I going to believe? Well, Isaiah said, who hath believed the report of the Lord? I'm going to believe the Lord's report.
Amen.
Remember, we used to sing a song. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Anybody old enough remember that song?
Yeah.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report is victory. That was a powerful song. All right, so whose report? So you have to decide who and what you're going to believe. Are you going to believe the politicians? Are you going to believe the news? Now, let me help you here. Today we're being taught we're idiots if we don't follow the science.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That is true if it's true science.
Yeah.
But what's happened is everything in America has been politicized,
yeah.
Even science.
Right.
It's true. I'm going on bunny trails, but I just want you to know, you can't believe it. Well, I mean, my gosh, we used to say it was on TV. Now we've learned that means nothing. Probably means it's a lie. But I was, for years, and I can't remember exactly what type of fat it is, saturated fat. I don't know if it's saturated fat, but certain type of fat. I'm not a health food guy, so I don't know all the terms. But I do get a newsletter from a health food guy. He's one of the top doctors, health food doctors in America, Dr. Colbert. He's a doctor to a lot of preachers. He's Dr. Barclay's personal physician. Okay. He has a program on TV and all. He's a good man. And but I got an email from him, not just me personally, but I got an email from him he sent out. And one of the fats that for all these years since the 1950s the government's told us to avoid, they now have determined it was all a lie. It was all politicized. It was all political. Did you know the dairy company is going to put out a good report about their product? Did you know the anti-dairy people are going to put out a bad report about their product? You know, the Beef Association of America, if there is one, they're going to put out a good report about their product, how you need it. The people that are vegans are going to put out a bad report about it. It's killing you and it's destroying the planet. We only got 12 years left. Well, glory. Hallelujah. 12 years we're going to be in heaven? You expect me to be sad? You just all better get ready too, because if we're all going, you're going too. No, it's just all hype, lies, politics. But here, so who are you going to believe? Well, we better decide we're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Number two, you have to decide what you're going to feed on. Are you going to feed on the news media? Are you going to feed on God's Word? See, if you spend more time in the news media, listening to the local news or the national news, than you do the Word of God, your misery is self-inflicted. You're causing your own problems. Number three, you got to make sure that you keep your eyes on the answer instead of the problem. Make sure you keep your eyes on the answer instead of the problem. There's going to be problems, but that's what Jesus said, men's hearts will fail because they're looking after those things instead of looking at their redemption. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of fears in the last days, but we should be fear-free people. Because let me tell you something. Peter, quoting Isaiah, said, the grass will pass away, all flesh will pass away, but the Word of God will endure forever. You know how I know? Right now, our government, our own government that's supposed to have some common sense, tells us our biggest military threat. No, it's not Russia. No, it's not China. It's climate change.
Yes.
We've got to go to war against it. You don't believe the climate's changing, Pastor? Look, I don't even have to be a scientist to figure this out. You just got to have a brain. Yeah, it changes every year. It's changing right now. I hate it every time it changes to winter. It's going to change again. That's not funny. No, my point is this. Of course, there may be fluctuations in the temperature on the globe, but they've probably been going on for thousands of years. I'm old enough to remember the time we were told by scientists, follow the science, scientists, that there was a freeze coming. The ice age was coming back. In the early 70s, we were told to expect to freeze out. Everything's going to freeze. The ice age is coming. Then they said it's going to burn up. And they got so embarrassed making those speeches with snow flying, and like 12 degrees, that they said, okay, don't use global warming any longer. Remember when it was global warming?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember when it was the ice age. Then it went to global warming. Then, well, we can't say that. Let's just say climate change. So that way, if it snows, climate change. If it doesn't snow, climate change. If it's hot, climate change. If it's cold, climate change. Climate is changing.
Yes, it is.
It changes inside my truck. I can drive from here to Michigan. Never touch it once. Phyllis is all over the thing. 4,500 times, time we get to Michigan, she's changing. I'm like, I just said it on one thing, leave it alone. She believes in climate change. I don't. Set it and go. Now, the reason I know what they're saying is not going to come to pass, because I read the end of the book. And it tells me how it's going to end. And it doesn't say, woe when the Lord shall come back right before you all burn up. Jesus isn't coming back, man, in a, what are those fire suits? The asbestos suit. Because the earth's burning up. No, he's going to come back, and it tells us how it's going to happen. And it isn't going to be like these goofy people are saying. Bless their hearts. Amen. Come on, did you get something today?
Yes.
Say this. Let's all stand up. Praise God for His Word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say this. Thank God.
Thank God.
I'm delivered from fear.
Fear.
You have no place in me.
You have no part in my life.
I'm a faith person.
I serve a faith God.
And faith is the victory that causes me to overcome
everything
in this world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.